Let's go. Let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle. I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody throw to stay outside on the 7 route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the greats check, too, okay? Because we'll get the bunch on 13. Even 51 greats. Even 51 greats.
And the rest of the 2007 NFL season.
Go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast lead over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go. Let's go.
I love it when a plan comes together. Gary, I think that was a keeper. And by the way, I'm sorry for throwing you under the bus. Did I throw you under the bus just a few minutes ago?
A little bit.
Well, but you know what? You know how difficult it is to set up all the logistics here, and then how difficult I would think, in theory, it would be to swipe somebody else's signals. Do you not?
Shut up. I am not.
Well, see, there you go. All right. Doesn't want to talk about it, but that's okay. I understand why. It's a little bit of a touchy subject around Foxborough these days. We welcome you inside the Patriots Playbook for Wednesday, day number 2 of our 7th season here on Patriots Playbook and Patriots.com Radio. And for those of you that are unfamiliar with the program, we're here from 2 until 4 Eastern Time weekdays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. And, of course, Patriots Friday takes over on Fridays, Patriots Monday on Mondays, through our affiliate relations with 890 ESPN in Boston on Friday and WEEI in Boston on Mondays. But we're here to present to you live, up-to-date, ready-to-go stuff. And not only worry about what happened last week, but start to look ahead to next week. And we all know that this next week happens to be the San Diego Chargers in a rematch of the AFC semifinal from last year in which the Patriots won, a game in which the Chargers felt like maybe they blew. Who knows? We'll find out how much that game still sticks in their craw coming up here in approximately 10 minutes with Kevin Acey, who is the beat writer for the San Diego Chargers and the San Diego Union Tribune. He's scheduled to join us in the program today. In the meantime, we've got a lot of emails and things to get to, I know, because of the decision and the statement that came today from Coach Belichick concerning Spygate or whatever it is that we've called it. I think we called it about a half a dozen different things yesterday. The statement from Coach Belichick, let me read that first for those of you that may be logging on and listening for the first time this afternoon. For those of you that this is a repeat performance, I apologize. We will try to get to some matters that are football today simply because of the enormity, really, of the game coming up on Sunday night. But you know as well as I do, you know absolutely as well as I do, that NBC, the television network that will be carrying this Sunday night football game live from Foxborough, will be spending quite a bit of time, if not all of their time, pregame talking about what? Spygate. So, you know, it's here to stay, kids. I know you want to talk football and you want to move on and you want to put all this bad stuff behind you. And, okay, if we got caught with our fingers in a cookie jar, we got caught with our pants down, whatever, you know, cliche you want to throw in here, fine, now let's move on. Well, it's going to be very hard to do that. I think we're going to have to get by this Sunday's game before we can really move on. We're certainly going to have to wait until a punishment decision is rendered by the NFL before we can move on. And we think that could happen by Friday. Don't really know. We don't know. We'll know when you know. We'll know when the NFL tells the Patriots, and the Patriots choose to tell the media, and they choose to tell us, and then, of course, we'll bring it to you right here on Patriots.com Radio. We'll have the very latest for you as we get it. Nobody else will get it earlier than us. That I can pretty much guarantee. So, at any rate, the statement from Coach Belichick is, quote, earlier this week, I spoke with Commissioner Goodell about a videotaping procedure during last Sunday's game and my interpretation of the rules. At this point, we have not been notified of the league's ruling. Although it remains a league matter, I want to apologize to everyone who has been affected, most of all ownership, staff, and players. Following the league's decision, I will have no further comment. Or it says, following the league's decision, I will have further comment, which means I'm not talking anymore until the league tells us what their decision is going to be. You know, we'll also have Coach Belichick's news conference for you. From earlier today at Gillette, in case you missed that here on Patriots.com. But we usually always play those for you here on the Patriots Playbook. The conference calls are not happening with the Chargers players and coaches until about 30 minutes from now. So my guess is that depending upon the volume of email and things like that, that may be tomorrow's program before we can get you the conference calls, of which Chargers head coach North Turner will be a part of. And I do not believe that the Charger player had yet been determined. It will either be Tomlinson, Phillip Rivers, or Sean Merriman. One of those three players, apparently, for the Chargers. So when we do get that, we will bring it to you. So if it's not later in the show today, it will be tomorrow. We'll bring you the conference calls and get a chance to listen to the Chargers' perspective coming into this. But we are going to give you some of that San Diego perspective coming up in just a few minutes with Kevin Acey from the San Diego Union-Tribune. In the meantime, I believe strongly, as I told the PFW guys just a couple of moments ago, that, you know, I understand if you feel hurt. I understand if you feel embarrassed, because I think we all, as Patriots fans here, part of the reason that it was so easy to like this team is because what it stood for, what ownership stood for, what the players, the management stood for, you know, in terms of being above board, doing things the right way, you know, being honest, having integrity, all of that stuff. And to have this happen, or to have this come out, that this, you know, has happened within your organization that you believed in, that you trusted in, naturally you're going to feel betrayed. I think that's an honest, natural, human reaction. Betrayal. Now, keep in mind, you're talking about being betrayed by your football team, which is in the business of making money, and the way that they make the most money is by winning the most games. Don't ever, for a minute, forget that. It is all about winning. Because it is all about the money, and it is all about making a return on your investment. And, you know, you can say and do the right things, but the Crafts wouldn't have this opportunity if they didn't feel like this would, you know, be worth their while. Okay? No millionaire or billionaire is ever going to get involved in a venture like this unless they feel like, you know, there's a potential, I think, for me to, you know, have a return on my investment because of the size of the investment. And, yes, they have had a return on it. And so now they've established something, and they want to keep that. And I can understand why Coach Belichick would apologize first and foremost to Mr. Kraft. Because I feel relatively certain Mr. Kraft knew very little about this, if anything at all. You know, he's on the competition committee. He's one of the, he is maybe the most respected owner in all of the NFL. And for him to have this happen in his camp, I'm sure he's embarrassed. And I'm sure he said, you know, what the bleep is going on? And so for the apology to be directed, it should be directed at Mr. Kraft. I'm not so sure it needs to be directed at anybody else. I would say Mr. Kraft first, staff certainly second, because the staff is, you know, going to take the brunt of the criticism now. I mean, from the marketing people to the salespeople to the PFW guys to the broadcasters to, you know, everybody's going to be thought of as now, oh, you work for the Patriots. They cheat. We're all going to be lumped into that, no matter who we are or what we stand for or what we've done in the past. We're all lumped in there together. We're all, because we pull a paycheck from the New England Patriots, we work for this team. Well, then we must cheat too. And obviously, if you think that there's any truth to that statement at all, you're sadly mistaken. And how dare you for even making that kind of a stretch? You know, I don't have anybody to explain to. Gary doesn't have anybody to explain to. Nobody in this organization has anybody to explain to except Coach Belichick to Mr. Kraft, period. Now, if the Patriots are going to do the stand-up thing, my guess would be that, you know, you know what, I'm not even going to get into that because I have nothing to do with that at all. I have nothing to do with it. We're going to sit and we're going to wait precisely what the NFL has to say, and when the NFL says it, Patriots will act accordingly. They'll have their chance, I'm sure, have their side of the story told. I'm sure Coach Belichick has already partially done that, and then we move on from this as best as we can. In the meantime, the fallout will continue throughout the country. There will be numbskull fans, like I mentioned a little bit earlier, all over, you know, from other teams, especially fans of the Jets, you know, fans of the Dolphins, fans of the Bills, fans of the Chargers, anybody that considers themselves a rival of the Patriots, and by that, I mean anybody the Patriots have beat the crap out of recently, or just beaten, period, they're all going to say, ah, well, maybe they cheated to beat us. Fine, let them think that. Absolutely let them think that. You know, at the tail end of Coach Belichick's news conference today, if you didn't hear it, and, or it wasn't at the tail end, but it was right after he kept saying that, you know, that statement pretty much covers it. He was asked by Karen Gregan of the Boston Herald, I believe, in the news conference today, are you embarrassed? She asked, she got in there, are you embarrassed by this? And his reaction to that was, you know, does anybody want to talk about the football game? If not, I think that statement, which I just read you, I think that statement pretty much covers it. So there was a reporter then that next, and I'm not sure who it was, but a reporter then asked after that about defending LaDainian Tomlinson. And Coach Belichick smiled. And again, I apologize if this is a redo for those of you that might have seen it or listened to it here on Patriots.com. But he said, whatever happens out there Sunday night, out there on the field, that's where everybody will make their statement. I think that pretty much sums it up, don't you? Whatever happens out there Sunday night, out there on the field, that's where everybody will make their statement. You know, here's an interesting twist to all of this. I heard, and I'm going to give credit where credit is due, this came from a caller to a talk radio show. It was Dennis and Callahan, in fact, this morning on WEEI, I believe that I was listening to at the time. And, of course, obviously this is a huge topic of conversation, you know, 24-7 in sports talk radio in Boston and New England right now. And certainly getting a lot of play nationwide on ESPN, on Fox, and others. And, of course, outside of New England, people are just hammering the heck out of the Patriots, as you might expect. You know, and nobody here is defending this, okay? Make sure we understand that. Nobody here, to my knowledge, is defending this. We all realize that somewhere in this chain of command, something went awry, and now somebody's got to own up to it. And I think we're in the process of getting to that point. But a fan called in this morning and basically said, here's what I think. And it actually, in its nutty way, makes perfectly sense to me. We all know that Coach Belichick likes to think two and three steps on down the line ahead of the game. So in other words, you know, while we've got a first down or a second up play going, he's already thinking about the next series and the next drive. Or at the end of the game, he's already thinking about the next game or two games. Coach Belichick has gotten to where he is in this profession because he's always thinking ahead. Maybe because, and this is just a paraphrase of what the caller was saying today, maybe because all of the burden of pressure is on New England coming into this season. I mean, the Patriots, as you know, overwhelming almost favorites to reach the Super Bowl, if not win the Super Bowl this year. Maybe because of that, maybe he's trying to deflect the attention. And you know how the Patriots have always thrived on being us against them? And about having the no respect card to play and about having the chip on the shoulder attitude and that they've always thrived in that particular regard. Maybe, silly and crazy as it sounds, maybe this was a ruse. Maybe this was a plan. Maybe this was something done almost on purpose in order to rally the troops. Can you picture it in the locker room? Coach Belichick telling his team before Sunday night's game against the Chargers, guys, everybody in the world thinks we cheat. Everybody in the world thinks you cheat. Everybody in the world thinks I cheat. Everybody thinks we are cheaters, and we have not earned our place. Go out there and show them. You know, I mean, can you see that? Can you picture that? Talk about giving your team a mental edge. Whoa. I guarantee you this is already being worked on in that clubhouse. I guarantee it. And if it's not being done from a team aspect, if it hasn't already been used as a team rallying cry, if it hasn't been talked about openly in the locker room, I guarantee you privately amongst the players in this locker room, they're all grumbling, I don't have to cheat. I'll show you who's a cheater. We're going to kick the bleep out of you. I guarantee you it's already given every one of those guys that will suit up on Sunday night a mental thought, if not a mental edge for Sunday night. I guarantee it. We'll find out, of course. Ultimately, if the Patriots end up, you know, falling flat on their face and getting beat by the Chargers or getting beat bad by the Chargers on Sunday night, then we'll all look at this and determine, well, this was a huge distraction. And it wasn't something that the team could ultimately overcome. And congratulations to the Chargers. The Patriots got their comeuppance. Now we're back at square one, and we'd be 1-1 in the season, and let's turn our attentions to next week. You know, okay, get your kicks in. Kick us while we're down. Get them in now, because after a while, you're not going to be able to kick us anymore. Well, that's the attitude that we'll all take if they lose Sunday. Right now, though, I kind of like the Pats in this one, because I do believe that these guys use mental edges as well, if not better, than anybody else in this league. You know it. I know it. Guys down the locker room even know it. Media here knows it. Everybody knows this. They use the mental advantage as well as anybody can capably use it. And because of that, that's why I think that this team will probably go out there and be successful on Sunday night. Now, I'm not going to underscore the fact that the Chargers are a very good football team. And the Chargers also have a bit of a mental, you know, edge as well and a chip on their shoulder because of what happened last January, you know, when the Patriots beat them in the playoffs. I understand that completely. I mean, 24-21, game the Chargers felt like they had in hand, and ultimately the Patriots came from behind and beat them in San Diego. And I'm sure that's had to stick in their craw now for the last 8.5 months or 8 months or so. So, you know, I'm sure the Chargers feel like they've got a mental edge on their side, too. That is going to add absolutely to the spice, to the intrigue, you know, to the flavor, to the attention that will be paid on Sunday night. NBC is just giddy beyond belief now that this has happened. Why? Because their ratings will be through the flipping roof on Sunday night. And I will be stunned if Gillette Stadium isn't electric on Sunday night, like a playoff atmosphere, where you light a match and it just threatens to explode the whole building, you know? I would be stunned if you didn't have that kind of an attitude and that kind of electricity about the stadium on Sunday night. It will be the place to be in sports this weekend. Gillette Stadium, Foxborough, Mass., Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern. The focus of the whole sports world will be right here. Because of what's happened off the field and what happened on the field last January. And what happened on the field last week when the Patriots, you know, beat the Jets and beat them handily on the road. And unveiled all their new weaponry on offense. And defense, for that matter. Can't forget Adalys Thomas, can we? So, this is great. This is building up great. It's beautiful. If you like stories, I like stories. I believe Homer Simpson said that once. Then I guarantee you, that's what's going to happen here. It's going to build up beautifully. So that's really how I kind of look at it. Now, let me get back to addressing a little about, you know, those of you who feel betrayed. I understand, don't hold your breath waiting for an apology because I'm not so sure you're ever going to get it. You may get another apology of sorts after the punishment is handed down. But as Coach Belichick already said, he apologizes to, you know, ownership, staff, and players. Ownership because of the deed, staff because they're the ones left living with the deed, and players because now there's a distraction. Hopefully they can use it to their advantage, as I described, but there is a distraction out there now leading into Sunday night's game. This whole, you know, Spygate issue, that's the distraction. And, you know, I don't think that that'll be something that, quite frankly, you know, you're going to get anytime soon, although you may get it in the form of, you know, play on the field. I'd be curious to know how you continue to feel about that. I know we'll continue with the thought process that the PFW guys started with just a short while ago. You know, whether or not you still, you know, believe in Bill Belichick, or are you ready to jump off the bandwagon, so to speak, with your emails. The email address, webradio@patriots.com. Webradio@patriots.com. And we'll read some of the emails from PFW as well as those that are coming in right now. In the meantime, I want to bring into the program Kevin Acey, who covers the San Diego Chargers for the San Diego Union-Tribune. Kevin, thanks so much for visiting with us, number one. Number two, I guess we've made things kind of interesting leading up to game time on Sunday, haven't we?
Yeah, as if they weren't already, you know. But, I can't imagine covering the Patriots. It seems like it's always something.
It is going to be a treat, I think, to say the least. Now, the obvious question that I have for you right off the bat is, how are the Chargers as a team looking at this from afar? Now, LaDainian Tomlinson has already been quoted as, you know, saying, well, that's pretty much par for the course. It's what I expect, and I'm paraphrasing here. But, you know, how is San Diego kind of looking at this whole Spygate affair?
Well, a little bit with amusement, and I do believe that they're not particularly surprised, and I don't know that that necessarily has a lot to do with it being Belichick, as opposed to NFL teams are paranoid, and I've always said they're paranoid for a reason. Because they do it too, you know, and I'm not saying other teams are out there filming or even the Patriots are, but it is absolutely amazing the level of paranoia in this league, as you know. And so I think it's a little bit of amusement, and I think a little bit of hoping that the Patriots get whacked.
Absolutely. And you're right about that. And I've said this, and our PFW guys know, and you know this as well, having been around the league for a while, that teams all do whatever they can to gain an edge. And, you know, you look at the sideline, you do this, you do that, you do whatever you can. It's like trying to steal the catcher's signals in baseball. Everybody does it. Some are just more flip and more blatant about it, and that may very well be what we've got going on here.
Right. This might be a little – now, look, I'm not intimately involved in this one. I'm covering my team. But this might be a little bit more than stealing catcher signs because, you know, baseball is that's just kind of baseball. This might be a little bit more since it's explicitly prohibited. But, I think it's amazingly – I think just people think that teams that live in glass houses should be careful.
No doubt. No doubt. I would tend to agree with you. And you're right about the explicitness of the violation. Cameras aren't supposed to be there. Camera was there. Ipso facto, it is a violation, and the Patriots ultimately are going to have to pay for that. Now, let me ask you from this perspective, because I know that the Chargers undoubtedly still have those that were on the field last January in that 24-21 playoff game. Chargers that were on the field, whether it's Tomlinson or others, I'm sure all have their own chip on their shoulder based on what happened in that football game. How much is last January's game going to be a factor in this Sunday night's game?
It's a factor in the lead-up, and I'll tell you what, the Chargers will talk about it afterward if they win. Isn't that how it always goes?
Yeah.
You know, they talk about the motivation if they won. They're thinking about it. Believe me, that game colors this whole season for the Chargers, whether it was the Patriots or whoever beat them. But losing that game the way they did after the season they had and playing the way they did that day is coloring this entire season. This team knows that it will be measured by what it does next January. And they do think about it, and they do think about that feeling. I think a lot of the things that were said, and I have a whole list of the quotes that were said in my computer that I'll be putting out there this week, were said in frustration by the Chargers. And as they cooled down, they came to realize, you know, two things. I mean, the Patriots were excited, as they would have been. And they have guys on their team that act like idiots, too. There's 53 players on the team, and it was probably wrong. LT said it. I was with him at the Pro Bowl, and he said that he was wrong to have singled out Bill Belichick in that way, and that he enjoyed getting to know Belichick at the Pro Bowl.
Interesting. And I wonder if, you know, now he's kind of going back on that based on what's happened this week. Have you had a chance to specifically ask him that question?
If he's gone back on it? Well, he said, and LT's, he's a coy one. And I'll say about his quote about the Patriots, in the last couple years, he has been more willing to put out stuff like that, like secure in his place as kind of an elder statesman and in secure in his place of, you know, everyone kind of respects what he says, and he's willing to kind of say stuff like that. And I find it amusing because he wasn't before, and I think it's interesting that he's not afraid to say stuff like that. Yeah, I don't think that they would have lost. I mean, I don't think that he wants to go have dinner with Bill Belichick, but or Adelius Thomas, you know, who wasn't on the team last year, but still. But I think that there is a respect factor he has for them.
Sure. Now, with a completely different, you know, coaching hierarchy in place in San Diego with the head coach and the coordinators and such as compared to last year, do you think that adds to the desire player-wise, or does that sort of lessen the impact a little bit, you think?
No, I don't think it has really any effect at all. I mean, just because it's the players. You always hear that in the NFL. The players say, you know, it's the players who play. And so I do not think at all that it lessens the impact. Here's the deal. They are fired up to win this game because it's the Patriots, and the Patriots represent the class of the NFL or the AFC, which is the NFL, let's be honest. And, you know, they want to win this game. It has very little to do because it's not going to change the outcome of January 14th of last year. But, dang, they are going to be ecstatic if they can come out of Foxborough 2-0. I'll tell you what, they, after the game, acknowledged how important that win on Sunday was. They did not want to go to Foxborough 0-1 because they know how difficult it is going to be to come out of there with a victory and to be 0-2 for this new coach. And with all these expectations that they're feeling from the outside, believe me, they are giving this game all the respect in the world.
I actually thought that, that was my next question, because in watching the game on Sunday, as of course for those that aren't quite aware, yes, the Chargers did beat the Bears 14-3, but I kind of thought that maybe they looked a little bit tight when they were down 3-0 there in the third quarter. I'm thinking, wow, I wonder how much pressure is on these guys knowing what they have lying ahead of them on the schedule. I'm sure winning that game last Sunday is probably a great big relief.
It was immense. Now, it's funny that and they sort of said it before the game too, but I don't think they would have been as open about it if they had lost, you know. we're screwed because we lost that game. But there was a huge amount of relief. Now, I don't know if they were tight or if they had a couple players that were tight. They had a couple players blow plays, or they could have blown out the Bears. Now, every football team can say that after every game, if we had done this and if we had done that. But, you know, some uncharacteristic drops by Antonio Gates. They had a right tackle. Shane Olivier did not play well at all. But tight, I mean, I think that once they got that, you know, that non-call down there at the one, and they were upset. They were just livid. And I thought, uh-oh, this is not going to be good for them. And they showed that, you know, they could play through that. And that's, I think, as much as anything what they took out of that game, is that they were able to overcome adversity, which they certainly were not against New England last year in the playoffs.
Right. Kevin Acey covering the San Diego Chargers for the San Diego Union Tribune, visiting with us inside the Patriots playbook. All right, Kevin, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask at least a little bit of football here based on the game and how the Chargers are you know, health-wise coming into this one. I mean, are they about as healthy as they could be? And where are the trouble spots, you think?
And the trouble spots in terms of health, or the trouble spots in terms of this team?
a little of both, health, actually.
Yeah, health, they're fine. You know, second game of the year, and they came out of that pretty good. They're starting strong safety. Clinton Hart, a little banged up. I forget what it is. It's some sort of lower or upper leg thing, like thigh or something bruised. But, you know, hey, football.
Right.
Darren Sproles, their kick returner, knocked out on the first play. I don't know if you saw that. He had a concussion, and he's supposedly going to be back. And I think that's about it. Let's see. Other than that, trouble spots on this team, right up there, the middle of the defense and the back end of the defense. Here's the deal: they rely on pressure. The Jets, they didn't get pressure, did they?
No.
Chargers, I think they will. Brady has not been stellar against the Chargers. And is that an anomaly? I don't know. I don't think so, because the Chargers are able to get after him a little bit. And they know that that's absolutely what they're going to have to do. They're always going to have to do that. I think their secondary is better, but it's not a great secondary. And, you know, you saw the way that they played the Bears, kind of, you know, just sticking back, not letting anything get in front of them. Might have to do that a little bit now with those receivers that the Patriots have. You know, they're definitely going to need to get pressure on Tom Brady. And I would say that's the biggest thing about this game.
Is being able to manufacture pressure?
Absolutely. And, you know, so the Chargers have to feel good, right? Because that's what they do. But, you know, they're facing a good offensive line. And their offensive line has to play better across the board. Jarvis, he had a good game, didn't he?
He had a great game.
Yeah, and he needs to, right? So
absolutely.
I think the Chargers' offensive line wore down the Bears. And I've watched this game three times since. I cannot say enough about how good the Bears are on defense. And I don't think that the Patriots have the good players are the dominant players at each level that the Bears have, but it's just a different kind of defense. And obviously, it's you know, you got Bill Belichick there, and I'm not at all disparaging them or saying the Chargers are going to run over them. But dang, the Bears are incredible, and so you can't judge anything on the Chargers' offense of what they did this week. I think it'll be an entirely different offense, a little bit more wide open this week than it was last.
What do you think about the Bears, then, actually made them stand out defensively in comparison to what perhaps you've seen already of the Patriots?
Well, certainly I've seen more of the Bears than the Patriots. I got the disc right here. Got to watch it on my flight tomorrow so that I know
I
what
caught you in mid-homework, sorry.
As opposed to right now, just kind of winging it based on what I've seen on the highlight shows. The Bears are so quick, so aggressive. Their linebackers move with the ball. I mean, it was just amazing that play after play, they were right there to either capitalize on a mistake or to create one with a stunt and just get to LaDainian Tomlinson. And hey, let's say this. For a lot of times, they had nine guys on the line. So it's hard to run against you know, a team that has nine guys on the line, especially if they're good. Tommy Harris was out of his mind.
Let me ask you what you think it would take if you were the Patriots for the time being, what do you think would be a way for a team to attack? How should a team go about preparing for San Diego? How does a team beat the Chargers?
Man, you're asking me like I know what I'm talking about. I feel
well,
like,
you know, I give you a little bit of credit,
really good,
Kevin.
You know, wow,
yeah, a little bit of credit.
You got to do more than put one slow safety like Adam Archuleta on Antonio Gates. You got to have a guy who's going to have a good game against Antonio Gates.
Right.
Have to keep. Well, here's your problem. What do I tell you? Do I say that you got to double up Merriman? People try that, and Sean Phillips gets free. What are you going to do? You're going to double up Jamal Williams and Merriman, and you got Phillips and Luis Castillo. You know, you got to make sure that you dictate the offensive line, and not let Jamal Williams push you back. And that's easier said than done, though. Teams have done it. I did it a couple times last year because their defense absolutely starts with Jamal Williams, and he was totally dominant, dictating the line of scrimmage this last week. And obviously, I've seen that happen in 90% of their games.
Right. Well, Brady only got touched, as you're aware probably, only got touched once last week. Didn't have an official sack. It was probably as well as the offensive line in New England has played in many, many seasons or, you know, many years even, certainly in recent memory. So in that regard, I'm sure the Patriots feel, that that's going to be a strength and that perhaps standing up to San Diego's, pressure that will be coming will be something that, they can handle. I actually think that, the Patriots are going to have a tougher time stopping San Diego's offense. And I sort of kind of lean to where when you were talking about the Bears' defense being really good, I think that's where the Patriots will have their toughest matchup is making sure that they don't get beat on the edge by a guy like LT.
Yeah, the Bears have this ability to play, because of the players that I talked about, they have the ability to play straight up and just go at you. I mean, obviously I talked about they did some stunts on defense, they did some things, but I'm no genius, and I was able to, look at their defense and say this is what they're doing, but they still did it really well and were able to stop the Chargers in the second half. The Chargers started to do some more screens, some interesting misdirection that Phillip Rivers did, and they were able to start. And also, they started to wear down the Bears and move the ball. LT, he has some pretty darn good games against the Patriots, even when his team stunk.
Well, I kind of think that the way that this matchup goes on Sunday is that LT is liable to be shadowed somewhat, maybe even by a guy like Adalys Thomas. I think that's entirely possible that the Patriots assign somebody to basically hit him on every snap of the football.
Well, I think that's probably what LT is thinking, too. And it's just amazing how these the Chargers, though, are able to then, and this is what happened and why Antonio Gates had 9 catches for 107 yards.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do there,
yeah,
too?
You're right.
What are you going to do with Gates if you're going to do that to LT?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. You got to pick your poison. That's really what it boils down to. And then when you do pick that, you hope that you could be successful enough with it, more so than the other team picking their poison.
I don't think we're going to see 14-3, though, because, especially, hey, if Randy Moss has another game like that, he's not had all that great of success against the Chargers. And that's totally off the top of my head, thinking back to when he was with the Vikings once and then a couple times with the Raiders. But he was on a crappy team then, didn't have the quarterback that he has now, did he?
Nope.
But I'm just saying that the Chargers' secondary is susceptible, always has been, and until they show us that they're not, then I'm going to have to say that.
Yeah, that would be my guess that would be one of the Patriots' areas to target. Let me also add to this equation, Kevin, that the last time the Chargers were in Foxborough, they beat the crud out of the Patriots. 41-17 was a long day for everybody associated in blue and silver that day, and Tomlinson had a great day. I think it was like 134 yards and a couple of touchdowns. So add that into this equation. San Diego comes in here without any sort of intimidation over coming here in the first place.
No. And, hey, you know what? Look, I took a lot of flack for saying this last year, but I don't know how you could argue with me that the Chargers, I think they physically beat the Patriots last year and probably could have won that playoff game if not for some gaps.
Well, sure they could. Absolutely they could.
To speak to your idea of them not being intimidated, they have no reason to be other than to say, hey, Patriots are very good. They're at home. They might be better than ever this year. But, in terms of showing that they can play with this team because it's a lot of the same players from 2005 and even more of them from last year, Chargers I believe, feel like they can play with anyone. I believe that really is their mindset. You know, every team says that. It's kind of ridiculous. But I think the Chargers really do believe it.
Kevin, let me ask you, with this team at 14-2 a year ago and then falling short in the playoffs as they did last year, what's the measuring stick for 2007? Do they have to finish 14-2 again for it to be successful? Do they have to reach the Super Bowl? Do they have to win the Super Bowl? Has a measuring stick for success even been discussed yet with this team?
Yeah, I mean, well, the general one is that the season doesn't matter because, you know, and this is me speaking, paraphrasing what they're saying because they would never say it exactly like this. Look, we're going to the playoffs, and that's where we will be measured. You know, what they're saying is they're good enough to go to the playoffs and that none of this matters. 11-5, 12-4, 14-2, whatever. All that matters is January. Some of them come out and said Super Bowl or bust. I believe the owner believes, not that anyone's head's going to roll. He ain't going to fire the coach again. He's not firing this general manager. So, you know, they'll just pick up the pieces and move on. But anything less than going to the Super Bowl, and we don't know how the AFC Championship game would go or a playoff game or injuries that are catastrophic. But this team absolutely is tired of what A.J. Smith calls the fluff numbers, you know, leading the league in offense and that sort of thing. And the records and the, you know, 14-2 and then getting embarrassed in their first playoff game.
Well, we like A.J. Smith because he's a Rhode Island guy.
Well, he's a huge fan of the Patriots, too. I don't know if you knew that, but two of the books on his. What's that book? The new Winning the New England Patriots Way. It's like two volumes or whatever. Mm-hmm. He's got that in his office.
No kidding.
Yeah, huge fan of what they do there and how they've done it. And, you know, I'm always pumping up what the Chargers have done, and they have now done it better than anybody else in the league in terms of signing guys, signing their guys and everything. But, you know, where do you get that? Bill Polian were one, and the Patriots another.
Right. Well, huge fan of the Patriots to an extent, as long as they don't, you know, like use a cam on the sidelines, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, it sounds to me then what we have here for Sunday night is two teams that both right now feel that they will be, will be in the playoffs coming up next January. So that kind of adds to the spice overall, number one. And number two, it's sort of like the irresistible force against the immovable object. Which one's going to flinch? This could be for home field advantage. Who knows?
Sure. And they all, you know, they're saying there's 14 games after this one, and that is absolutely true. Let's not make any rash judgments on, Monday morning. But, you know, the Chargers, especially, if they lose this game, will have it in the back of their mind, you know, that we're going to have to face this team again, maybe in Foxborough again, and, you know, they'll whatever. We don't know how the win or loss will come down, but it is going to be in the Chargers' head, you know, whatever, win or loss this week. So it does have that significance. I really believe it does. And some players have acknowledged it, and, of course, other players lying through their teeth, which sometimes happens in the NFL.
Right. How has Norv Turner acquitted of himself thus far? I know it's very early in his career as a head coach in San Diego, but has he done and said all the right things to your estimation?
He is so naturally the opposite of Marty Schottenheimer, and that works in his advantage because it's not like he's come in and tried to be different than Marty. And I'm not saying that the players didn't like Marty or were tired of his act, but they're seeing such a difference and it's such a genuineness. They've really responded to it. And then on offense, add to that fact that the players absolutely love, and they saw right away, and they continue to see that this guy has new things and really knows what he's talking about. And he did indeed, you know, install this offense in 2001 and is now taking it to new heights. You certainly didn't see it, but they did what they had to win. I thought that was a well-called game, and I thought that he did very well to just do what he had to do to beat a very good defense. But I do think that these players have responded to him, and they like him, and they've responded to the new defensive coordinator, Ted Cottrell. I honestly, it's funny, I think sometimes I feel like John the Baptist or something. I'm the voice in the desert talking about that I think North Turner's a good coach and that Lombardi couldn't have won with Oakland in 2004 and 05. But I do. I think we need to wait and see, but it's just absolutely amazing. People were calling for his head here after the first preseason game. It was stunning because they had all these penalties and stuff, and it was funny that was able to respond and write a little something about how the Chargers had more penalties under the disciplinarian Marty Schottenheimer than they did under Norv Turner in the preseason. But and then after this game, people kind of, not by and large, but there were a fair amount of fans upset because of how boring the offense was. You know, not giving the Chicago Bears any credit whatsoever. So, believe me, in terms of fans, he is on a short leash here.
Wow. I guess that's not terribly surprising. I was also going to ask, and I think you sort of alluded to it by mentioning Ted Cottrell, how things have changed schematically, defensively, and with Clarence Shellman on offense as well. I mean, you do have new bosses running those particular units than you had last year, and we know what kind of success the team had overall last year. How much have things really changed?
Well, on offense, not a whole lot, but Norv is actually the offensive coordinator. I mean, obviously, you know, Clarence Shellman is in there and everything,
right.
But Norv's calling the plays.
Norv's
got the final say. He's okay. The guy. Yeah. There's going to be, I believe there'll be some little, and when I say that, I think they're going to go downfield more. I think there'll be some more, I don't know if I should say more misdirection because they did a lot of that, but I think there's going to be some little surprises that every week you're going to see a little something like that pass from LT, a little something that Norv, because he likes those things. And then on defense, they are actually blitzing more. They have blitzes out of every package, and that you saw it, that they brought it a lot last time on third down. It might have been 100%. I stopped counting, but it was early. It was 100% blitzing on third down with the nickel. And the dime. And they're doing a little bit more disguising in the secondary in terms of they never used to do that at all in terms of showing one thing and then, you know, moving a couple of yards, going to another thing. They never used to do that. Wade Phillips was hey, we got this great front seven. We're going to beat you with that. Secondary, hey, you guys just don't let anything really super bad happen.
Right.
and so it's a little bit different this time.
Right. Well, by the way, you've got one of my favorite people in the NFL on your staff in Bill Bradley. From one Longhorn to another ex-Longhorn, I'm glad he's there for you.
He is. He's a crack up and a real good gentleman.
Yeah, he is a good guy. Please tell him there's a Longhorn in New England land who's rooting for him except for this Sunday.
Right on.
Hey, Kevin, it was great to visit with you. Thank you so much for spending the time. Super stuff. And have a safe trip eastward when you come this way.
Right on. Hey, take care, man.
Appreciate it. Thanks. Kevin Acey, who again covers the San Diego Chargers for the San Diego Union Tribune. You want to go online and check out all of his pregame stuff this week if you have the opportunity and if you haven't already done so. And obviously he's a pretty hip and with it character and appreciate his honesty and his insight into how San Diego is looking at this matchup coming up on Sunday night. And quite frankly, I'm not surprised in the least. You know, these guys in San Diego, the Chargers, these players, they don't feel like they really lost that game in January. And because of that, I don't think there's any sort of an intimidation factor at all. And I think they are kind of smirking and poo-pooing the fact that, well, so what if the Patriots, you know, got caught for a little, cheating or what have you. You know, that's typical. It's not going to change the way we're going to go about and do our business. And really, the key to success for the Patriots on Sunday is taking the same exact attitude. You know, San Diego's coming in here, you know, yada yada. We got to just do our thing. We know they're going to be tough. We know it's going to be difficult. It was difficult in January. It's going to be difficult here. Can't worry about all the other stuff that's going on. Distractions? What distractions? That's what the Patriots have to be saying. I'll tell you what, this is, you know, I can't wait for Sunday night. This is truly, I mean, with all due respect to the games that we've played in the past, especially with the Colts, in the regular season, and again, I use the collective we. The Patriots have played with the past, in the past with the Colts. This is one of the most anticipated regular season games that I personally have had in quite a while. I don't know about you, but I'm really looking forward to Sunday night. I am looking forward to finding out if there's any fallout from Spygate, and I'm looking forward to finding out, you know, just where, you know, the Patriots as a team are mentally and whether or not there has been a distraction or they're able to use Spygate as incentive. And I'm certainly going to be interested to see how San Diego comes into this thing somewhat mentally on Sunday night, whether or not they're able to use last January's game as any sort of incentive for their performance on Sunday. There's great intrigue here. Norv Turner, new head coach for the Chargers. Nobody thought really that Marty Schottenheimer deserved, I don't think, to get fired. I mean, the team went 14-2. Who deserves to get fired after going 14-2? So there's intrigue here on both sides. And whether or not,
you know, from our aspect here, whether or not the Patriots are able to put aside all the off-the-field stuff this week and concentrate on what's going to happen on the field. And like I mentioned a little bit earlier, if you just log into the program, I mentioned that, you know, somehow, some way, there's a little part of me, maybe it's the cynic in me, but maybe it's because I've been around this team and this organization now for 15 years, and I certainly have been here long since before Coach Belichick and his regime arrived. But maybe it's because having seen what one regime has done and as they hand off to another, realizing how the game is played within the game from some of these different staffs, that maybe there's just a little bit of method to the madness where this is concerned. Maybe the Patriots somehow know what they're doing. And then, you know, maybe they're going to have to take a hit or a fall for something, but maybe this is somehow schematically all a part of the process to gain an advantage or what have you. I don't know. We'll ultimately find out after the game, probably on Sunday, depending upon what the outcome of the game is. But anyway, that was just food for thought. As crazy as it sounds, food for thought. Webradio@patriots.com. That's the email address. If you want to call, you can do so. 508-543-7482. Again, area code 508-543-7482 is the telephone number. But fire off your emails. I know we got a bunch from the last hour PFW to get to. I want to get to those. And if you're disappointed in your Patriots, I mean, how can they fix the problem? That's what I want to know from you. If you haven't already espoused your feelings to that end, how can the Patriots make it up to you? They're guilty here. It would have seemed. We're assuming now we're guilty because Coach Belichick has apologized publicly. So they're guilty of something. What exactly they're guilty of, we don't know officially yet. But they're guilty of something. So we're no longer really assuming guilt. But how can they make it up to you now that they are guilty? Is it just winning? Public apology? I can never forgive them? And please, if you can never forgive the Patriots, you know, fine. Go root for another team. The Patriots won't miss you. Webradio@patriots.com. Sneak in a timeout. We'll read some emails. Got some other thoughts on our mind right here inside the playbook.
Hello. I'm here to tell you about new Diet Pepsi Max, the refreshing beverage with ginseng and more caffeine. It stops the yawns. A great deal of research was put into the subject of yawning so that new Diet Pepsi Max would be that much more effective. Here are some interesting facts. A yawn... Excuse me. Ugh. is an involuntary respiratory reflex which regulates the carbon dioxide and oxygen levels in the blood. The average yawn lasts 6 seconds. Goodness. And the ancient Greeks believed that a yawn was a person's soul attempting to escape from the body. And I might add that yawning is highly contagious. In fact, 55% of you listeners will yawn within 2 minutes of hearing this message. And with new Diet Pepsi Max, you can... Excuse me. That's better. Now, where was I?
Wake up, people! New Diet Pepsi Max, with ginseng and more caffeine.
Hey, this is Hall of Famer John Hanna. Let me tell you about the first ever Game with the Greats. Have you ever wondered what former football players talk about when we're watching the game? Well, now you can find out for yourself at the first ever Game with the Greats. On October 14th at Gillette Stadium, watch the Patriots take on the Cowboys in the Fidelity Investments Clubhouse, along with me, a bunch of my teammates, and other Patriot alumni. Guys like Andre Tippett, Steve Nelson, Steve Grogan, and Pete Brock will be there with you to enjoy the game and just hang out. Tickets are limited because they're only $25. Visit the Patriots.com homepage and click on Alumni for more information. We're all going to be at the Game with the Greats. Where will you be?
The New England Patriots set a franchise record for fewest points allowed during the 2007 season. Celebrate this historic milestone with a limited edition Goal Line Guardian poster exclusively from the New England Patriots, free. And if you think that's good, how about having it signed by two members of that record-setting defense, Roosevelt Colvin and Ty Warren? Take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer by making qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points, redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. rate. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points card and free Goal Line Guardians poster autographed by Roosevelt Colvin and Ty Warren. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact, too. Autograph poster limited to the first 200 with qualifying purchases. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
All right, Jimmy, it's the big day, and we got to go. Patriots kick off in an hour. Let's make sure we got everything.
All right, let's see. Face paint.
Check.
Helmets.
Check.
Foam fingers.
Check.
Jerseys.
Check.
Checks.
Check.
Check card.
Check.
That's everything.
Let's go, Pats!
Woo!
Let's go, Pats! Let's go, Pats! Let's go!
Check, check, check. That's right. If you really are a true Patriots fan, then you need to open a New England Patriots checking account from Bank of America today. You'll get checks, check cards, and even bank statements, all with the official New England Patriots logo. Bank of America is the official bank of the New England Patriots. So take advantage of this opportunity to make every day game day.
Let's go, Pats!
And sign up for a New England Patriots checking account today. Bank of America. Bank of Opportunity.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. New England Patriots trademarks, including the Patriots logo, are the property of New England Patriots L.P. and are used pursuant to a licensing agreement with New England Patriots L.P. 2007 Bank of America Corporation. All rights reserved.
John Rook inside Patriots Playbook here on Patriots.com radio for a Wednesday. As you can imagine, it's hot and heavy. Web radio at Patriots.com is how you contribute to the program with your thoughts on Spygate, your thoughts on the Chargers. Normally on Wednesdays, the last few years, again, if you're just tuning in for the first time or sampling Patriots Playbook for the first time as a newcomer to Patriots.com and Patriots.com Radio, this is our seventh season with the program. We're here normally during the season. Our last program is usually right after the Patriots get eliminated or win the Super Bowl, whichever happens. And that's happened, what, now three times, I believe, in the past. So we're happy with that. We try to add a little bit different perspective. We try to do a little more interviewing of those who are involved in the media, both Patriots media as well as opposing team media. We'll get you into the locker room to hear from some of the players. And we do have locker room interviews for you today. But quite frankly, the show is really about you right now today, simply because of the emotion that many of you are portraying because of the whole Spygate issue. If we get to the locker room today, we will. If not, I promise you, we'll get into the locker room for you tomorrow. And conference calls with Coach Turner from San Diego and the Chargers representative may also be coming tomorrow as well. So we're locked and loaded on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays from 2 to 4 Eastern time. We're glad you're with us. In the meantime, let's go to the phones because Jason is in Florida, and Jason wants to get his two cents in. Jason, how are you?
Good. How are you doing today?
Great. Thanks.
Yeah, I just want to, you know, say that I'm pretty disappointed on a lot of Patriots Nation on how quick they turn their back on, you know, their team, you know, Coach Belichick. We've had nothing but good memories and great things from him and this team, and to see how quickly everyone, you know, we got one hiccup here, which, you know, it seems to be serious, maybe, maybe not. We don't really know anything besides the fact they were found guilty of something. Well, you know, I mean, to me, until they come out with the official ruling, I think that everything is just speculation as far as how long it's been going on and the double guessing, and I'm a Patriots fan, I'm not going to go to games anymore. All that stuff is just ridiculous.
Well, let me throw something in there for you a second, Jason, because I'll just play devil's advocate. I tend to agree with you. I think you're absolutely right. But I think when you add this whole Spygate thing to the fact that, you know, Rodney Harrison, you know, took HGH and has been suspended from the league, you know, you have that. And, you know, you have, you know, all this innuendo over things that have happened in the past with the Patriots. And, you know, I'm just saying that I can understand why some fans might feel a little bit let down, because here's a little bit of that shine, a little bit of that sheen that the Patriots have built up, all this goodwill since 2001, in particular during the first Super Bowl championship, and the whole, you know, we are Patriots feeling that came over this franchise post 9-1-1 in 2001 and everything. I can understand where people will be disappointed. Can you see that a little bit?
No, I really can't, because this is football. It's not Disney World. And, you know, Rodney Harrison is, you know, one of the great players in this game. And he lays his life on the line and his limb and his career on the line every down. And I won't judge him. The only people I think that can judge Rodney Harrison are other players in the NFL. You know, I'm an active duty service member. I'm actually a Navy SEAL. I just got back from Iraq not too long ago. So, you know, as part of a team and as part of, you know, something bigger than just yourself, you don't judge other people in aspects like that. And, you know, I spend a lot of money. I'm not a season ticket holder, but, you know, I fly. I'm in Florida right now, and I got to fly up. I spend a lot of money on eBay for tickets. And, you know, it's something that's always bothered me about Patriots fans. I go up there, and on third down, I'm screaming for the defense. And mm-hmm. I see a lot of spoiled fans. I really see a lot of, you know, fickle, spoiled fans. And it just breaks my heart to see, you know, the team getting torn apart by the first real, you know, controversy they've ever come across. I mean,
well, I don't know that they're going to get torn apart by this. Ultimately, I think we're going to find out on Sunday because, if, like I said earlier, Jason, you know, if they lose this game, well, then this was a distraction. But if they win this game, then I think they've sufficiently shown and proven yet again that they are masters of controlling their own fate, and they've let very little, you know, get in from the outside. So, you know, Sunday's going to tell that. You know, first of all, God bless you for coming back home safe and for what you guys do, you know, for all of us here. And the fact that you're a dedicated Patriots fan, you know, I think that's tremendous. And quite frankly, I think we need more people like you in that regard. But I think you got to understand that people are fickle and people have a right to, you know, change their minds and change their opinions. But I think what you're bringing up is a good point in the fact that we have to realize that, hey, you cannot judge a man 100% unless you have walked a mile in that man's shoes.
Yeah, and it just, you know, when the whole Rodney Harrison thing or the Bill Belichick thing, it's all together. People don't like champions. They don't like people to be on top. We've been on top for so long now and in the running. And the first time they're going to get some leverage to put you down, they're going to put you down. Now, you know, I think that the only way to get through this, which is the question I actually called the answer, is to win. If at the end of the season we're, you know, hoisting another trophy over our head, it's going to be the great story of the New England Patriots and how they overcame adversity and blah, 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 blah. And you're going to hear everyone jumping back on, you know. So basically I'm just calling to say, you know, Patriots Nation, unite, back your team, support the coach, support the owner, support everything. Go to the games like you're always going to do. And just, you know, pull for the boys on the field because that's what it's all about.
Well said. Jason, thank you very much for taking the time to visit with us today.
Hey, thank you for taking my call.
You got it. Our pleasure. I hope you're not a stranger. Jason in Florida, that's well said. I don't think I could say it any better. Let's get some emails in here as well. And by the way, if you want to contribute to the program, you can do so, 508-543-7482. And again, the area code 508-543-7482. That's how you call into the program. This comes from Jeff in Coatesville, Pennsylvania, from earlier today, in reaction to what was written in the New York Daily News. For those that don't know it or weren't aware of it, if you hadn't seen it, and I know this was a topic of conversation as well earlier on PFW in Progress, but there was a story in Daily News in New York that Eric Mangini, you know, because he knew everything that basically was going on, having worked here, finally decided to do something about what he knew. And the Daily News wrote, "The Jets knew they did it," citing a person with knowledge of the situation who sent the newspaper an email. They caught the guy, talking about the Patriots videographer, caught the guy a year ago but couldn't do anything about it. When Eric came, he said that's what they used to do. Bill is going to be bleeped at Eric. He kissed and told. Now, I would say, well, if that's the case, then why wouldn't have he kissed and told earlier, like sometime last year? Because Sunday's game was the fifth time that Eric Mangini has coached against Bill Belichick since he joined the Jets. Why did he wait until now to kiss and tell, you know, and kind of, you know, rat the Patriots out, if you would? I you know, that's, who knows? Maybe it was kind of like, well, maybe it'll go away, and then the problem didn't go away, and maybe he felt like he got burnt by it last year because of the whole situation that has already been told, and so it's kind of like, well, I'm not taking it anymore. I'm not going to get burned by him again, so here's what they do. That's possible. And quite frankly, I can see that from Eric Mangini's point of view. You know, if I'm coaching the Jets, not that I ever would, of course, but if I'm coaching the Jets and I've been burned by these guys before, knowing full well that, you know, they do some things, you know, secretly, if you will, there's no way in the world I'm going to stand for that happening to me, especially if I know about it. So I realize that, you know, many of you feel like Eric Mangini's a rat here, right? Like Jeff in Coatesville, who says, "Guys, what about this hatred of the Pats? ESPN and all the media are jumping on the bash the Pats bandwagon. I'm glad all this media bias surfaced yesterday. ESPN and all the former NFL players like Steve Young are now exposed for their hatred of the best team in NFL history. Are you kidding me? Mangini set them up. Rat City. It is now exposed. It's us against the world. Let's rally around the troops."
And I appreciate the email, Jeff. You know, I can understand that, but again, you got to look at it from Mangini's point of view. Okay? He's got somebody else who's paying his paycheck now. He is loyal to those who are paying his paycheck. And so if he's been burned by this before in any of those previous four games, he's not going to stand for it again. And if he sees the guy out on the field and he sees the camera out on the field again, he's going to know what to look for. Well, then he's going to blow the whistle. Now, frankly, this is where I blame the Patriots, because the Patriots should not have been dumb enough to allow this to occur on Sunday. This is where the Patriots erred in judgment. This maybe is where some of that, I don't know, some of that swagger, some of that testosterone, some of that, you know, I don't know, what's a good word for it? Some of that invincibility comes into play, I guess. Really, bravado? That's a good question. That's a good statement. Good word. That's where it comes into play. They shouldn't have had it. Shame on them for having that. This is why you must always remain humble in victory as well as in defeat. Because, you know, if you get full of yourself, eventually you're going to overflow. It's just the way it's going to go. And you're going to get burnt. And that may be what really has happened here. Christy in D.C. says, is there any chance BB could get suspended for this violation? Is there any precedent for an NFL coach being suspended? Yes, there is a chance he gets suspended based on what we've already read and heard. But at least at this stage, it is not entirely likely. As far as precedent for something, for a violation of this nature, not to my knowledge. Not based on everything that I've read thus far, and I've tried to read as much as I can over the course of the last 48 hours on this, but I don't believe there is a precedent for this particular thing happening. The bottom line is the Patriots violated a rule that is written in the NFL and that Roger Goodell, as commissioner, warned the teams about before the season again. And the Patriots violated that rule. So he's likely to come down hard. But if it comes out, you know, that, well, Belichick had complete and total control, I suppose, and he had, you know, the right to say, yes, do it or don't do it, and he did, said, do it anyway, well, then if he's blatantly thumbing his nose at the, you know, NFL establishment here, hey, don't be surprised if a suspension happens. I tend to believe it'll probably be a couple of draft picks. I tend to believe it'll probably be a first-day pick, either a second and a third, and maybe something else. And there will probably be a stiff fine. That's just what I tend to believe. But, again, you know, that's just based on everything that I'm hearing thus far. Okay, here we go. Justin in Alaska writes, so tell me this isn't a big deal. I'm listening to Mark Schlereth and Merrill Hodge talk about how three Super Bowl wins are now void and tainted. This is disturbing. Well, first of all, those guys are idiots for saying that. I don't really believe that they believe that because they've played the sport. So that's why I'm a little disturbed at Mark Schlereth, because he's an acquaintance of mine. I don't know Merrill Hodge too well. I know Schlereth pretty well from my time working at ESPN, which I still do from time to time. And I think they're just taking a stance here in order to be polarizing. I think you understand in sports media nowadays, you got to take a side. You know, if you sit on the fence, you're going to get hit from both sides. These guys are sitting there choosing a side of the fence to climb on, you know, in order to create discussion and to get people to watch and boo or cheer them. That's what they're doing here. Because honestly, you know, this stuff had nothing to do with three Super Bowl wins. Even if you could go back and prove that the Patriots were doing whatever they were doing during the course of that season, you still have to go out, and I'm going to borrow, even though I'm not sure that he's a great coach at all, but I'm going to borrow something that Herm Edwards has said. You still got to go out and play the game, and you play the game to win. Right? So in that regard, hey, shame on the other teams for not taking advantage of the Patriots. That makes absolute no sense to me at all. You know? No sense. So, anyway. Justin says, regardless, I love my Pats when they sucked in the 80s. I loved them when they were high in coke in the late 80s. I love them when they were sexist in the 90s. I especially love them when they were a dynasty. I love them regardless of who's playing or who's coaching. Well, I guess that in a backwards way, it's sort of like getting a little back slap to the face. But, Justin, I'm glad you shared with us. And you actually bring up some interesting points. This is not the first time that this team has gone through controversy, or this organization has gone through controversy in the now 47th, 48th season of their existence. And you hit on it. Yeah, they stunk in the early 80s and back even into the 70s. You know, they had some guys that were accused of doing some things they should have been doing in the 80s. And obviously the whole Lisa Olsen situation in the 90s, you know, under Victor Kiam's regime. So, I mean, this team has, you know, had its share of ups and downs, and you'd have to say mostly downs over the years, except for the exception of this particular decade. You know, with one little blip on the radar screen of getting the Super Bowl back in the mid-80s, back in Super Bowl 20. So, in that regard, I think Justin hits the nail on the head there, and I hope, you know, that most Patriots fans feel likewise, because I do believe that's how you should kind of treat this situation. This, too, shall pass, as the well-worn cliche goes, saying goes. Ron says, I feel a little like the kid or little kid at the end of Eight Men Out saying to shoeless Joe Jackson, say it ain't so, Joe. Assuming they did it and the coach was aware to the worst degree, which an apology seems to indicate, what's the best-case scenario as a fan of an organization, of the organization? Best-case scenario is that you lose a draft pick or two and we move on. I don't know that the Patriots would really be floored if Coach Belichick were suspended for a week or two or whatever they end up doing. I don't know that that would really hurt them, because they would plug someone like Dante Scarnecchia in. The game plan's still going to get done. You know, the players are still going to play. Coaches are still going to coach. You just don't have, you know, Coach Belichick roaming the sidelines. So I don't know that that really is going to hurt the Patriots all that much, to be quite honest with you. Best case scenario, you lose a draft pick, a first day draft pick, and then see you. And then we move on. That's, you know, anything else other than that, I mean, I don't know how much a second day draft pick really is going to hurt them, because quite frankly, only two draft picks made the team this year, right? And they were both first day selections, correct? So how much is a second day selection really going to hurt this team? I don't think it hurts them at all. And you know the Patriots stockpile picks, you know? That's what they get derided for, you know, making trades. And they get lauded for. They get praised for stockpiling picks. So they're going to try to delve into that stockpile a little bit. That's how I think, you know, most everybody feels that you can hurt the Pats right now. And I think best case scenario is, yeah, that's exactly how you can probably hurt them. Brian in Colorado. How do we know that Belichick hasn't tried to address this in another way? I'm at work, can't follow everything you're discussing, but were you inferring the Colts were somehow cheating in the championship game? I know the PFW guys talked about that. No, it wasn't necessarily the Colts, but I think all teams, you know, take edges. All teams look to gain an advantage no matter what, within reason, in order to beat their opponent in any given week. Now, recall that, you know, the Dolphins were accused of such against the Patriots a few years ago. How about more recently? How about let's go back to the Jets being accused of tampering in the whole Deion Branch thing? All teams try to get an edge one way or the other. And by the way, tampering is against the rules in the NFL. So, you know, the Patriots accused the Jets of being against the rules. Now the Jets are just basically coming back at them. This is a great rivalry that the Pats and the Jets have going on here, if you haven't already figured that out. You know, Patriots got us on the Deion Branch thing. Well, by God, let's get them on this one. You know, I don't think that anything was really proven, to my knowledge, as I recall off the top of my head, but fact is that they brought it up. They brought it up, and that's, you know, guilt by association is what we really, is what we all go on in life, whether or not you're guilty or not. That's just the way it is. It's reality. Tony writes, there's no bigger fan than I am, and my disappointment cannot be described. I feel bad for the players because they are the ones who work their butt off, and now people are saying that they don't even deserve the last three Super Bowls. The only thing that would make a statement would come from owner Robert Kraft and not from the NFL. Kraft needs to fire Bill and move forward. That would be a statement that actually end this thing now and keep Mr. Kraft and his reputation intact. No, Tony, no. You don't need to fire Bill Belichick. That would be like throwing the baby out with the bathwater. You ever done that? Please. I'm not going to even go any further than that. People saying they don't deserve the last three Super Bowls. What people? Tony, the only people saying that are ignorant fools. Are you in that category with them, Tony? This one comes from, let's see. Well, this is good. Darren in Illinois. He says, pissed Pats fan in Illinois. I know the teams do all they can to push the rule book to the limits, but I hate that Coach Belichick has chosen to do this as a matter of policy. The worst thing about this is that the team is superior anyway. You don't need to do this sort of thing. Way to take the shine off of a great debut by Moss. Well, yeah, there's no escaping that. There's a little shine taken off of that, but you can't escape. Facts are facts. It was 38-14. Randy Moss was a man against boys against that Jets secondary. And you just heard a short while ago Kevin Acey of the San Diego Union-Tribune on this program say that, you know, hey, if I had to attack the Chargers, I definitely am going to hit the secondary. Don't think the Patriots haven't already thought of that. I guarantee you, once we get by all this stuff, and the reason that we spend so much time on it is because there's a week between games. There's no other game to talk about. Once we get by the game, once we get to the game, once then we get past the game, we move on with things. I do believe that around here. Okay. Next email comes from someone who didn't sign it. I wish you would really sign these, but that's okay. I find this cheating issue to be quite troubling because it begs the question of what else has been going on behind the scenes. Things that make you go, hmm. Was Rodney Harrison's use of HGH a surprise to the Patriots or not? Did they actually know that he was using the substance to get him back on the field? Who knows? For me personally, I lose respect for anyone who knowingly cheats. Well, all I can tell you, whoever you are that wrote this particular email, then I hope you have lost respect for yourself, because I'm quite certain that at some point in time you've probably done something to your income tax that the IRS would frown on. I'm not saying you cheat. I'm not even saying you knowingly cheat, but I know you have a choice sometimes on your form, and I guarantee you, if you have a choice to make on the form, you're always going to take the side that benefits you as a taxpayer. You're never going to consciously say, well, you know what, this is going to benefit the IRS and the government, maybe I should do that. If you say that, you lie. Like a dog, you lie. Let's see, Steve. Steve is in South Dennis. The cockamamie theory that Belichick is doing this to level the playing field and change the rules, or at least get the league to enforce more closely all sideline video, is the only thing that makes sense to me. Bill always seems to be two steps ahead of everyone else, so I'm waiting for the smoke to clear on this one. Nail on the head stuff there, Steve. You're absolutely right. I do believe that this was probably an attempt that may have backfired somewhat, but this was an attempt to get clarification and get the NFL to, for whatever reason, clarify something. I do believe that that is a part of the equation. And I said this on yesterday's show, and I will say it now. The answer, the ultimate answer to all of this, lies somewhere in the middle. It's never one extreme or one end or the other. It is never the extreme. It is always somewhere in the middle to a degree. And I believe this to be a part of that equation in the middle. Steve also says, if nothing else, he definitely is a great motivational tool for this year. Since everyone thinks the Pats are Super Bowl favorites, they can't play the no respect card, but now he can play the they think the only way we can win is to cheat card. And LT has already complied with some good bulletin board material for the week. He says, I don't know, I still think there's another shoe to drop in this whole story. Bingo. Steve, you're right on, and I also believe that also is a card the Patriots are playing. Everybody thinks we cheat. Everybody thinks you cheat now, that you're no good. It's all about gaining a mental edge in this game. You know, the physical part of this game is so even from team to team and player to player that a lot of times the mental edge is what creates an advantage for a team over another. I'm telling you, I believe this to be true. And I believe some of this is part of this equation in Spygate. Andrew says, was it last year that Belichick got peeved about Atlanta's misuse of the injury report? As I remember, Vic was listed as probable but didn't play. Following that game, if I recall correctly, Belichick pushed the envelope on the issue, and then this summer the rules were changed. Have I got that right? If so, how do you think this bears in the matter at hand? Yeah, I believe you are right. And yes, again, like the last emailer, I think that this is part of his tweaking his nose, thumbing his nose at the NFL. We'll find out how much the NFL is amused when they come down with the penalty that they're going to come down with on the Patriots. Dan in Fairfax, Virginia. Other than Jake Steele and Craig from South Carolina, probably as big a homer for the Patriots as anybody. But I have to say I'm really disappointed. If Belichick doesn't have a good reason for doing videotaping, I think he should get a 4-game suspension, just like a player would get for breaking the rules. I haven't heard anything about breaking into radio signals, but if he did that, he should get at least a year suspension, if not an indefinite lifetime ban. Well, first of all, you know, I don't know that definitively in the NFL that for a coach or someone on the team to break the rules, that there is a, you know, punishment in place like there is for the players and the Players Association. So I can't really accurately determine if the suspension you talk about, Dan, would be appropriate here. Frankly, I think that's a little harsh. I think you also realize that suspending a coach, quite frankly, really, once again, won't mean a hill of beans. I don't know about you, but this team is in, you know, an operational mode where the head coach, does he make calls and does he make choices and decisions during the game? Of course he does. But I don't think this team, because of the organization that's been built, because of the coaching staff that has been put in place, and because of the players that have been hired to play here, this team would be okay if they have to do without Bill for a while. It's not like, oh, what are we going to do? There's no way we're going to beat Buffalo because we don't have Bill Belichick. Baloney. Dan says, I hope for a reasonable explanation, but I don't expect to get one. I don't want to root for cheaters. I can still root for the team because I don't think the players were involved. But this, unless I hear a good reason otherwise, really knocks the coach down a peg in my eyes. Well, see, but Dan, like, I'm trying to get you to maintain, as most Patriots fans who feel hurt or betrayed by this, you got to understand, you don't know the whole story. You don't know. You don't know why he did it or even how he did it. All you know is what, you know, the wahoos on ESPN, you know, and the jerks who write on other message boards, that's all you know, because they want to take the team down a peg. Why? Because the team is good, and the team could very well win another championship this year, if all breaks right. And so everybody want to knock down Goliath. Everybody wants to, you know, slay the giant, and that's exactly what's going on here. Everybody's taking their pot shot. You don't know why Bill did what he did, because you can't get inside his head. So you need to wait a little bit further before, you know, I think you make a serious judgment on Coach Belichick as a coach or as a human, because, quite frankly, you don't know. I don't know. And it would be presumptuous of you to believe otherwise. Well, let's see. We got a couple of – oh, yeah. This one was sent by Catherine in Beloit, Wisconsin. She sent the link to the story on the New York Daily News today about Mangini blowing the whistle, so to speak, on the Patriots. And she said, it makes me sad to hear what a lot of people are saying. Although I'm disappointed about this situation, I know we have a great group of guys playing their hearts out week in and week out. They execute week in and week out. In Bill and in the Patriots, I trust. I don't think I could have said it better. I mean, if I'm just going to be a fan of a team, I'm not going to give up on the team simply because one transgression, one false step is going to be made. I hope that if you are my family member, you know, and, you know, you get into an accident that's your fault, that, you know, am I going to give up on you because you may have committed a, you know, a violation of some sort? No, I'm still going to love you. God forbid something happened to, you know, either one of my children. You know, and I have to bail them out of jail or something. I'm still going to love them. I mean, they may have done a bad thing, but it doesn't mean I'm going to stop loving them and supporting them. And I think, honestly, that's how you have to look at this. Okay, you know, so my favorite team, so my beloved Patriots screwed up. So, you know, it's a little tough to be a Pats fan right now in the overall scheme of things. And we're really taking a pounding, you know, from Joe on the message board. Oh, please, don't waste any time about, you know, people who spend their times on message boards. You shouldn't. You know what I'm talking about here. So treat it like you would a member of your family. Cut them a little slack. Let's see what the real story is as best as we can get it. Let's wait for the apology and let's pick ourselves up and we move on. What it does is it shows, if anything, it shows human. It shows that humans are in charge. Humans make mistakes. That's what we do. So, you know, if you're saying, well, I can't believe in the Patriots anymore, well, then I would hate to be a member of your family. I absolutely would hate to be a member of your family. I'm glad that I'm not. Because if I screwed up and to have you turn your back on me, well, that just wouldn't be right, would it? Craig in South Carolina. Good to hear from you, Craig. Knowing Belichick has video of other teams filming our signal callers, even Parcells said it is done across the league, but then they put forth more effort in hiding it. Well, of course, and I said that yesterday. Goodell being presented evidence of other teams doing it will have to focus on the league-wide problem and subsequently not be able to come down too hard on the Pats. Everybody take a pill. The NFL has made no statement yet. We might get fined. We might lose a draft pick. It's not the end of the world. Spying or not, our players still have to execute on the field. I'm not glad it was done or that we're being painted as villains. We have been touted as a classy organization along with a great team, but now everything is suspect. Go Pats anyway. I have loved the Pats forever and will continue to. Okay. Well said, Craig. Good to hear from you, buddy. Moving along in the overall scheme of things here. Let's go to... wish I could read some of these names. Okay. I can't... I don't know who this is, and he didn't sign it. Monsta A. He cheated... In Belichick, he says, the subject, though, is in Belichick we trust. He cheated in the same way other teams have been cheating. The difference is he continued to do it after an explicit warning. This does warrant a punishment, but not the tainting of the Patriots and their franchise. You will know how much this aided the Patriots' victories by their performance for the remainder of the year. The Patriots are a great team. The fans are overreacting by calling them cheaters. The players don't deserve this. Stop facilitating all the negativity and call it like it is. They broke the rules. They will be punished. Time to move on. Players still have to play the game. Let's face the situation appropriately. Take responsibility. Move on. They deserve better coverage than this. In Kraft, I truly trust. Excellent. Excellent. Monster A, whoever you may be. Excellent. Rich in Providence, or actually Rich from Providence, but he's in Orlando. Wow. Rich, what are you doing in Orlando listening to us? Anyway, thanks for doing it. I couldn't help but notice the omission of the word fans during his apology today. Talking about Belichick's apology. Anyway, he needs to recognize that we are the ones who, in the grand scheme of things, will be affected most by this. The more the talk of a tainted dynasty makes its way out into the mainstream. Anyway, in lieu of an apology, I'll take a battle-ready team that crushes the Chargers on Sunday for starters. Get it done, Bill. Yeah, I think that's fair enough, Rich. I did mention, though, when I read his statement in the opening hour of the program, opening few minutes of the program today, for those that didn't hear it, he did say in his statement, I want to apologize to everyone who has been affected. That's his quote. I want to apologize to everyone who has been affected. I think everyone includes fans, don't you? He did say most of all ownership, staff, and players, because they're affected directly. You, as a fan, are affected indirectly, whether you like it or not. I know you like to think it's affect, you know, directly, but it's not. I think he said that. And you're absolutely right. I think, you know, with a win, and certainly with a resounding win, if they could get that on Sunday, I think forgiveness will be right around the corner. Okay. This one comes from Clovis, who says, thanks for the great offseason coverage of the Pats. Congrats on the various birds and nuptials, talking about the PFW guys. My only comment on the spying fiasco is, why weren't they using video in the early 90s when the Pats couldn't win if their lives depended on it? I've been a fan too long to really get angry about this whole thing. It's more an empty, disappointed feeling that, in all reality, the Pats don't need to cheat to win. They're a great team that, in my mind, can beat the best in the league without the benefit of videotape play calling. I wear my Pats gear daily during the season. Yesterday, a Raider fan saw my Pats shirt and called us cheaters. My response was to say, yeah, you guys definitely need to learn how to cheat better. Hey, good comeback, Clovis. Good comeback. You're right. You know, you're right. I do believe that, you know, it's a little disappointment, sure, but you have to kind of move on here. You know, we're cheaters. Well, of course, it had to come from a Raiders fan. They're still all, you know, PO'd about the Tuck rule, and yet it wasn't us that made the call on the Tuck rule. It was an official on the field that made the call. You know, it just sucks to be a Raider fan right now because, well, they suck. They wish they could cheat like the Patriots do. They didn't do it well enough. I think that was a good comeback, Clovis. Good job by you. Rick is, he doesn't say where he is, but Rick says, first things first, Patriots have more talented, smart, and hardworking players than any team on their schedule this year. The games they win this year will be because of that fact alone. My rabbit could coach them, and the results would be the same. This is why, and thank you, Rick, for bringing that up, this is why I believe that if Coach Belichick is suspended, I'm not sure, will it hurt him a little? Maybe. But when it comes right down to it, I don't think so. This team will be prepared either way. Maybe he'll volunteer to step aside. Maybe he'll say, who knows, in bargaining this thing, and you know there's going to be some back and forth going on here. Maybe he'll say, you know what, I tell you what, how about I take a 2-week or 4-week suspension, what have you, and we get to keep our draft picks. Now, I had an earlier email say, what's the best case scenario for fans? That would be the best of all scenarios. You don't lose any draft picks. Game plans are already done. Everything's in place. This is a machine that's in motion here, kids. I think that would actually be the best case scenario, frankly. But But, you know, but the PR hit would not be the best case scenario for the fans if Coach Belichick is suspended. The PR hit would be grave because, you know the numbskulls on ESPN and everywhere else and message boards everywhere, oh, God, well, the Patriots are big cheaters. They had to suspend their coach. I don't know how they're going to survive, and there's no way they could beat Buffalo. People who really know what's going on with this team, I think they're going to say the same thing. Ask the PFW guys that question. In fact, we'll talk about this tomorrow in our little crossover between shows. What's the best case scenario here if the decision hasn't already been handed down? That'll be a good question to pose to those guys. And we'll bring up the whole, maybe it's just, let's go ahead and cut Bill for a couple of weeks and keep the draft picks. What do you think? All right, Rick also says, secondly, let's not be so naive to say that the Patriots are the first team to do this. There have been documented incidences of other teams doing the same or similar. Now, that doesn't make it right. But if we as spectators are going to blow this thing up and say the team is ruined, then let's realize that we are only spectators. We don't know what it's like to play or coach in the NFL, and we don't know what the trends are. Absolutely, Rick. Can we please stop calling foul, running around crying before we even know what the facts are? This is so typical of U.S. media and fans to blow this out of proportion. Okay, Rick, very good. Hey, I'm really pleased with the caliber of the emails today. A lot of you have some very well thought out reasoning going on here. Some of you do not. Most of you do, and that's somewhat heartening here. Jim in Mission Viejo says, I clicked on the link to your show from the ESPN website. I want to applaud you for telling us straight on your show today. Currently, I'm listening to your fan with the radio station in his basement. Yes, that's me. I'm not a fan. I'm an employee of the team, but thanks anyway for that, Jim. And I have a studio line in the basement of my home here because I am a freelance broadcaster. I broadcast for ESPN Radio. I broadcast for several syndicated entities around the country, sports primarily. I do commercial voiceover work, all that stuff. Yeah. There you go. Thank you, Gary. Hey, the emailer brought it up. I didn't, right? But this is my media central here. And the reason that I do the show one day a week from here at home is because I'm here so my son can have someone to come home from school for. Is that okay? I don't like having a latchkey kid at home. Is there anything wrong with that? But that's why I do it one week. I'll be back at Gillette Stadium tomorrow. Just so you know, Jim, this is my 15th year with the team. Can you believe it's been that long, Gary? How many years has it been for you? Thank you.
This is 10.
10 for you? Okay. So, see, I even predate you. Shocking. Being a video editor, Jim says, I want to assure you that you can turn around video filmed in the first half. Video can be taped digitally now. What this means is that it's a computer file instantly, not an analog tape that needs to be digitized. Plays can be cut and pasted into new files as easily as you cut and paste in a Word document. I think I was aware of that, but that's good that you clarify that. Thank you. 3 years ago, you could have argued that taping an opponent's signals was for the next time you played them, not anymore. You guys have got it right. This incident is big. I wouldn't be surprised if Coach B gets suspended. On this weekend's contest, the Chargers aren't talking about playing for revenge. They just want to win against a good team. Last year is last year. We beat ourselves and let a really good team get too many chances. A mistake you can't make at home or on the road in the NFL. Okay, Jim, thank you for the clarification. I suppose you could, but see, the whole issue of being able to turn it around becomes further clouded when you realize that defensive signals, like the ones the Patriots have, allegedly here videotaped, those defensive signals change from game to game. So if you're looking at a coach giving a signal, and then, you're looking at the play on the field, and you're trying to match the two together, if you're lucky, you might be able to, you might be able to use it in the second half. You might be able to use it in the second half. Maybe. And you've got all this uproar going on over the headsets and, in the video booth and everything else. I mean, it's very hard to concentrate on doing what you have to do with so much talking and everybody going on. It's very difficult. There's a lot of it's orchestrated chaos is what it is. In the coaching booth, in the sideline, video booth, whatever, there's orchestrated chaos. I know this because there's orchestrated chaos in my booth. But that's just the nature of the beast. I think it would be very, very hard to do what some people think the Patriots have done. Doesn't mean it's impossible. I just think it'll be very difficult. And I do think you could certainly use it to your advantage to spot tendencies later in the year for repeat opponents. But you're absolutely right, and it makes sense because of, you know, allegedly the Patriots doing it against Detroit and allegedly the Patriots doing it against Green Bay, and those are teams they only play once a year. So that would certainly tend to make some sense, and I will not disavow that. I think that that could certainly have had happened, but I just think it's harder to do, much harder to do, in fact. Thank you for the email, Jim, and thank you for the clarification. Chris sends this note. As a longtime Patriot fan, I can honestly say I'm disgusted with these actions. I can no longer support a team that cheats. My son and I actually removed all of our Patriot gear on display in our house. Well, then I'm not going to read this. If you've given up on the team, Chris, then you don't deserve to have the email read. He says he's an embarrassed and soon-to-be former season ticket holder. Well, enjoy rooting for the Jets or the Chargers or whomever you root for. Bye, Chris. Let me also say this, that my son, as long as you brought that up, Chris, my son and I also have discussed this. And, you know, I always like to break this down to the simplest common denominator because I think it makes the most sense. I mean, how do you explain adult actions to kids who don't know any better? When you're trying to teach your own children, your own household, the difference between right and wrong, and when adults mess up, how do you explain that mess up to a child? And especially a child that looks up to you as a parent, a child that looks up to his favorite team and puts that team up on a pedestal. Well, the first question that came out of my 12-year-old son, Austin, was, Dad, why did they need to do this? They're already good. And I said, that's a legitimate question. We talked about this last night over the dinner table, in fact. And I said, I'm not sure that I can sufficiently answer it. I'll be honest with you. Austin, I don't know. I don't know why. I think they're also good enough to do this. But I will tell you that in the NFL, the pressure to win is great. The pressure is so great that sometimes people will do some things that they feel that they can get away with in order to gain an edge over the competition. It doesn't make it right. What it does is it's still wrong. And what this particular instance does is that no matter how much you cheat, you might get away with it once or twice. You might laugh and you might say, ha ha, I fooled you this time. But invariably, you'll get caught. And the more that you bend the rules or cheat in this instance, and the more you get away with it, the more emboldened you are going to be from here on out. You're going to be willing to take those chances a little bit more. Why? Well, simply because you hadn't been caught before. What makes you think you're going to get caught now? And I used the analogy of, it's kind of like drinking and driving. I said, you know, Austin, it's against the law to drink and drive. Yeah, I know that, Dad. I said, well, if you've had a beer or a cocktail, and you kid me about this sometimes, if we're ever out and I have a beer with dinner. And he said, oh, Dad, be careful. You don't drink and drive. And I said, you're absolutely right. And believe you me, if I have more than this one, I'd turn the keys over to your mom. That's absolutely a fair thing. I'm glad he's aware of it. Maybe that'll keep him from getting into an accident someday. And for that, I'll be very grateful. But I just said, you know, the more that you drink and the more chances you take and you get home and then you think, I got away with it again, you're going to keep taking that chance, right? And he said, yeah. Well, I said, I think that's kind of how this, I think this is kind of what happened to the Patriots. They maybe got away with a couple of things that bent the rules, you know, once or twice, and they kept doing it, and now they've been caught. And you can see what's going to happen when they've been caught. So I said, this is why you shouldn't cheat. Maybe you'll get away with it. And if you do, well, hey, you know what? Good for you. But ultimately, you're going to get caught. And when you get caught, you're going to have a real penalty to pay. So I said, so don't cheat. It's better not to cheat. But I said, this just shows they're human like everybody else, like you or I or anybody else around here. They're not superhuman. They're people, just like me and you. And I think he was good with that. Discussion was over. He's still going to support the Patriots. He's still going to root for the Patriots. I'm still going to root for the Patriots, even though I cover the team and work with the team. I'm still going to treat them as a you know, an entity that you have to cover and you have to, you know, do the best job you can with and to try to present you with a, you know, a somewhat concise and allegedly entertaining show every weekday. But, you know, it's not going to change my attitude about them one stinking bit. You're either a fan or you're not. Allen in San Francisco. So the statement said Belichick spoke with Goodell this week about a videotaping procedure during last Sunday's game and my interpretation of the rules. So even after being warned last year, BB has ambiguities with the rules. How he says, effing arrogant can you be? And not only that, but the same guy as last year. Try explaining to your nephew why good players and teams cheat. Trust me, I'm used to it. I know the BB in San Francisco pushes the subject. Yeah, I believe that. But, man, now I'm getting it from all directions. Not hurt, just tired of having to shrug my shoulders and say it's professional sports culture to look for every edge, even if it falls in a gray area of the rules. You know, Alan, that's a good point because you're right. I am also a little tired of having to shrug my shoulders and say, hey, it's the way pro sports is played. But it's the truth. This is the way pro sports are played. And if you don't think that it should be that way, then you're being a fan of pro sports. Well, you should go try being a fan of something else. Go be a fan of Tiddlywinks, because that might be the only thing that doesn't have something a little, shall we say, gray going on. If you think college sports are clean, please. There's cheating and recruiting going on every stinking day. Someone's trying to get an advantage in college sports just like they do in the pros. Why? Because there's money to be made with victories. The whole phrase amateur athletics is a misnomer. It just doesn't. True amateurism doesn't exist in this country anymore. I can wax poetic about this for hours, but I won't bore you with it here. But, I mean, in all forms, sports are professional because somebody is making money somewhere. That's just the way it is. And you're right about the arrogance, and that was the word I think I was searching for a little bit earlier. The Patriots are certainly guilty, it would appear, at this stage, of arrogance, if nothing else. And you do get a little bit arrogant, a little bit cocky when you get away with things for as long as you do. Jason says, I'm a lifelong Pats fan and always will be. I believe in supporting your team in the good times and the bad. To all the fans out there who are turning their back on a team who plays their asses off, laying life and limb on the line to win for us, you should be ashamed of yourself. Support the team in Bill, Tom, Teddy, Richard, Matt Jr., and the rest of the boys we trust. The only way to get past this is to win and win big. Patriot Nation needs to unify and support the team. When the season is over and the players, coaches, and fans' blood, sweat, and tears are dry, we will be standing tall as a team united with another Super Bowl victory. Thank you, Jason. Chris, you know, the email that you sent really got me thinking now. So at the very least, you did that. You got me thinking. And while I'm disappointed for you and your son, I would tell you that you will be hard-pressed to find somebody somewhere who doesn't cheat. As I suggested about a previous emailer, this is professional sports. This is professional sports. People are searching for an edge that will enable them to beat the other guy. And if it means pushing the envelope, if it means moving into gray areas, if it means moving from gray into black and white, whether it's cheating or not, then sometimes people are willing to push that in an effort to gain that edge, in an effort to win. It's just what happens. So if you're disenchanted and you're going to throw your Patriot stuff away, well, okay, great. You certainly have a right to do that. I am not going to keep you here. But I will tell you, good luck finding another team to root for. You won't find it. You just won't find it. Everybody does this. Maybe not this specific deed, but everybody looks for an edge to win. Everybody tries to gain an advantage on the other guy. And if it's the difference between winning or losing and you have to choose whether to cheat or not, and you got, you know, things on the line, there's things on the line, whether it's money or championships, put yourself in their shoes first before you say, I can't possibly support someone who cheats. Look in the mirror, pal. Look in the mirror. All right. Enough about that. Here we go. Eric says, I believe that this spy game is a complete joke. Every team has done some form of this. Look at the 90s Broncos and the 49ers with the salary cap. Good point. Understandable, salary cap and video cameras are different, but cheating is cheating. So with moron analysts like Mark Schlereth and Terrell Davis talking trash about the Patriots, guess what they are? Hypocrites. I'm also sick and tired of LT talking trash, and it's okay because he is a class act. When or if New England speaks, people say they're classless. But it's okay for the rest of the league to talk trash. My opinion is I believe that teams and people in this country are sick and tired of New England winning. Also, I love what that guy said. This whole thing might have been on purpose. I still believe in the Patriots, and I think this will spark them for another Super Bowl win. Yeah, I think I'm that guy that said this might have been on purpose. I don't know. I wouldn't put it past the Patriots to have this little scheme in the back of their brains in an effort to create a perceived slight. Nobody thinks we can win because we cheat. Nobody thinks you guys are any good because we cheat. Let's go out and kick their butts. Well, believe you me, that thought did cross my mind yesterday. And the more I thought about it, the more I heard a couple of fans this morning in a local radio program, the more I said, you know what, that might not be so stupid. That might not be so silly. Ken in Huntington Beach, California. Glad we're getting some California responses here today. Once something is done, it's done. The only way to make up for it is, one, the person's responsible must step forward. Accept responsibility, state exactly what it was that they did, and state exactly why it was wrong. Two, those persons, same persons, must humbly accept any and all consequences for their actions. Three, finally, those same persons must truthfully swear to never make such mistakes again and then go forward to show a strong positive example. Anything less is just an indication that they're sorry for being caught, not sorry for doing something wrong. Essentially, in order to make things up to the fans, those involved in this situation need to do more than just admit guilt. They need to repent of their actions and change their character. We all make mistakes. It's how we own up to those mistakes that make us who we are. Once again, well said, Ken. Once again, you give me hope for the faith that fandom has for the New England Patriots here. Some good stuff here today. Very, very well thought out emails. James writes, I can absolutely forgive anyone who is truly sorry for what they did. I think a good start to getting past this incident is if Belichick is suspended for a game or two, maybe up to four. Having him pay a price and the team pay a price for what was done would send the right message. As a fan, I hate to think of what it would do to their season, but then I hated seeing Rodney get suspended for the same reason. I think that Bill getting suspended would go a long way in convincing teams that it is wrong to flout the rules of the game. I don't buy the argument that everyone else is doing it. The game has to maintain competitive integrity. Well, sorry, James, then you're putting your head under a rock. A lot of teams, if they don't do exactly what the Patriots are doing, they do similar things that are bending the rules. I've worked my personal self. I have worked for professional franchises in my career. I've been at this game as a paid professional for 30 years. I will tell you that people bend the rules. They just do. In every walk of life, but in particularly in sports, they do. Why? To gain an edge over the opposition. It just happens. I know this because I've seen it and I've witnessed it. I've never been in a position to have to make a decision whether or not we're bending the rule because I've always worked for someone on a team somewhere. I'm a broadcaster or what have you. So it was never my place to make a decision like that. But, it does, you know, none of this surprises me. None of it. None of it surprises me. What surprises me is, I guess, the perceived amount of arrogance that is here to continue to do something like this and then get caught. I think that's what surprises me more than anything else. I actually thought that this organization would be a little bit smarter than that. I think that's why I'm surprised more than anything else. But then again, we don't know exactly why Coach Belichick approved of what was done. Maybe that will come out and maybe it won't. But we don't know why. Maybe this was a way to get the NFL to pay attention to something else. Don't know. It's not up to us. You know, those who say, in Bill I trust, well, you know what? It's all right to question, you know, a call on the field. He doesn't have to answer to it. But in this regard, yeah, you kind of do have to trust him. You know, you hired the guy to control things on the field. You hired the guy to win championships. You hired the guy to do what he does. And now you're saying, oh, but you can't do it that way? Well, no. So if he goes against the rules, then maybe he is the one that should pay the penalty. Why should the players pay the penalty if the guys in the locker room aren't accused of cheating in this particular instance? The players, they didn't cheat. Now, maybe they benefited in some form or fashion by the cheating that was going on, but, you know, did Rodney Harris, I mean, not Rodney, that's not a good example. Did Teddy Bruschi cheat? No, per se, no. Did Tom Brady cheat? No, not really. Did he use some stuff that came, shall we say, in a not proper way? He might have, I guess. It's conceivable. It's possible. So does it make him complicit? Well, I guess that's up to the NFL to decide. And ultimately, we'll find out here in the next day or so. Let's see if I can get a few more in before we wrap up the program today. Craig in South Carolina sends us another note. He says, the Pats will use misdirection, play-action draw screens to take advantage of the Chargers' aggressive pass rush. You'll see some quick slants to Moss and Welker coming out of the slot to neutralize the D's lateral speed, keep the linebackers back some by making them less effective against the run. Our running backs will be stopped for minimal games 90% of the time, but then they'll break through, which is always frantically pushing their way upfield. Brady won't be able to sit back there all day like he did against the Jets. The Chargers led the league in sacks last year. The D gets a ton of pub, but they finished seventh in the league in scoring defense, which is one spot behind the Jets, who we just waxed. Chargers pass defense, 13th last year. Jets were 14th. They're virtually equal on D. We scored on 6 of 8 possessions last week. No way they limit us to the 20s. LT is going to get some good runs in, but I see us outscoring the Chargers by at least 10. All right, interesting. Thanks, Craig, for injecting a little football into this. And I'm sure Coach Craig will be he will be consulted when the game plan is made out this week, which, of course, starts today with practice and such at the stadium. But, you know, what Craig actually says, some of it here does make some decent sense. Fact is, I wouldn't be at all surprised to see the Patriots go up-tempo, no huddle, you know, dink and dunk, because Chargers, A, won't be able to substitute different packages in. B, it will lessen the effect of their pass rush and or blitz packages. You know, so, you know, I definitely think that that makes a lot of sense. A lot of sense. Find out on Sunday. Let's go to, let's see, this one is a Patriot in Florida. Jimmy, I think his name is. Love the show. Been a fan through the 70s till now. Milbury High School, 77. Simple fact is that scouting is done at Pop Warner High School, universities, and any edge from play calls to spying their calls have been done longer than I've been alive. It is part of the game. So to all the people that are ignorant to the fact, get over it. College play callers use 3 different people waving in calls because they know someone is looking. Boo-hoo, get over yourself. Okay, good stuff. It's true. You're right. They do have 2 or 3 different guys throwing in signals on any given play. If you watch a college sideline, and I do this with my Texas Longhorns, watch the sideline, and if a play is getting called from the sideline, you have the backup quarterback, you have a coach, and probably another player. Either it's the third-string quarterback or it's another offensive player, and they're all giving you hand signals. Only the quarterback knows which hand signals are right or which one he's supposed to pay attention to. That happens frequently on college sidelines, frequently. You know, what's going to happen here is that eventually what you're going to get to is that defensive calls, if the Patriots are deemed to be guilty with this particular instance, then what you're going to do, the NFL, there's a quick and easy way to get around this, okay? This is how we're going to end this today. Quick and easy way to get around it. Put radio receivers in defensive players' helmets, just like they do with the quarterback. You know, the call gets radioed in from the box upstairs, okay? Well, they're going to do this, whoever your play caller is on defense, whether it's the middle linebacker or whether it's Teddy Bruschi or whether it's a cornerback or safety or whatever, put a receiver in his headsets and get the call radioed in. Therefore, you eliminate the need for signals coming from the sideline. End of story. If anything, the owners will get upset over this because this will cost them more money. But, hey, it's the competitive nature of this business. And I'm sure people will say, you know what, this is just going to be the cost of doing business. That's how you fix the problem. All right, great emails today. Fantastic stuff, folks. I really appreciate your taking the time to write and to vent and to share your feelings and your frustrations, your pleasures and your desires with us here on the program. And we will be here same patch time, same patch channel tomorrow. Russell Baxter, who is the NFL research coordinator for ESPN. He has been a regular on the program for the last 3 years. He will join us. Yeah, he's a good guy, too, and he knows a lot. He will join us approximately 2:45 Eastern time tomorrow. So you want to stay tuned for that. He'll be with us to talk about not only the Pats and the Chargers game, but we'll also run through the entire Week 2 lineup in the NFL. So we'll have that to go for. We will get into the locker room, the Patriots locker room. We'll hear from the Pats players and their preparations on the Chargers. And we'll also get our conference calls. You'll hear from the Chargers themselves tomorrow. You'll hear from North Turner and the Chargers locker room as they prepare for the Patriots. It is all upcoming on tomorrow's edition of the Playbook. My thanks to Kevin Acey of the San Diego Union-Tribune for joining us in the program today. We'll wrap up the program today. You'll be able to hear what Coach Belichick had to tell the media about Spygate and about trying to get ready at the same time for the Chargers coming up right here on the Playbook.
They have a little different system, some different, let's say, emphasis points. But they're, you know, they're a very explosive team in all three phases of the game, and they're a very physical team. And so that'll be a big challenge for us this week. And you know, I think we have some familiarity with, you know, at least playing against a 3-4 defense. But you know, they played very well. They led the league on first down last year. They're very hard to run against. And, you know, they had a lot of turnovers against the Bears, and I think I'm sure that Rivera's part of that. You know, coming over from Chicago with that type of mentality. And we know they put a lot of points on the board. They're good in the red area, and they're explosive on special teams. So, big week ahead of us, and they're a good football team.
Do you worry at all with all this sensitivity
distraction? Well, we got a big week here with the Chargers. We know that. So, that's what we're working on.
Roger, did he give you an indication of when the decision would be made?
I don't have anything to add. Sorry, I said all I can say about it for right now. When something comes in, I'll have another comment on it. Until then, I don't think that.
Bill, are you making any contingencies in the event that you're suspended and unable to play the game?
Don't have anything else to add. I said all that I can say for right now.
Are you embarrassed by it?
Are there any questions about the Chargers? Want to talk about the football game? Go ahead. That statement pretty much covers it for me.
Bill, do you think you put the players in a tough situation?
I think we're getting ready for San Diego. That's what we do on Wednesday. That's what we're doing today. Okay? Any questions about the game?
How are you going to shut down LT?
He's, you know, it's not just him. It's Turner. It's Sproles. They got a great running game, good offensive line, and, you know, he's a very explosive guy, not just in the running game, but also, as we saw and the Bears saw and everybody else has seen, you know, screen passes, passes out of the backfield. So he's tough. He's a tough guy to stop. Just hope you can slow him down. He's tough.
Were his comments a concern as well, too?
I think the Chargers are a concern. Their football team's a concern. That's what we're most concerned about. You know, whatever happens out there Sunday night, that'll be, you know, out there on the field, that's when everybody will make their statement. And, you know, we'll try to have put our best game out there. I'm sure they'll put their best game out there and see what happens.
Bill, every week, obviously, you make your proper defense in the running game. It's important, but even how you this week with the battle team.
Oh, of course. Absolutely. Yeah, because he has great vision. He can see them all. And, of course, when he cracks the line of scrimmage, he's, you know, he's got the ability to go all the way, so. You know, some of the weeks it could be a, you know, 6 or an 8 yard run. This week, you know, it could be a touchdown. It could be 80 yards.
Is that something you
really
kind of stress to the guys?
No, absolutely. It's got to be team defense. It's all 11 players. Everybody's got to do their job, and he has the ability to find that weakness, find that crack in the armor. And if he gets into the secondary, you know, if we don't play proper leverage on there or tackle him well in the secondary, then you know he'll take it all the way to the house. So. It's all 11 guys are going to be really challenged this week in the running game.
Do you have to guard against, because they're so aware about T and they want to get to the spot where they think they're supposed to be, over pursuit? You know, you tell guys, listen, just play your fit. Don't try and do anything outside of the ordinary to bring this guy down.
Right. Well, believe it or not, that's what we usually try to do. We try to everybody take care of their job. But that's right. If you try to, you know, get to somewhere where you think he's going to be, then that's when he cuts back into your gap. And, again, I don't want to, you know, underestimate Turner or Sproles or, you know, anybody else they have carrying the ball there. You know, if you look at the end of the Chicago game when they were ahead, they just gave it to Turner and, you know, Turner put the game away. So they got a great running game no matter who the back is. Certainly Tomlinson's, you know, the marquee guy. I'm not saying that, but they're all hard to stop.
Bill, how are the North Turner Chargers sitting from what they were last year?
Talking about offensively or defensively? Well, defensively, you know, it's a new coordinator, obviously, with Wade in Dallas and Tech Cottrell and you know, Ron coming over from the Bears. They They've had a lot of turnovers in preseason. They turned the ball over against the Bears. And so it's, again, a lot of the fundamentals of the 3-4 are the same. But I think, you know, the way they run some of their zone blitzes and a couple of their coverages and all, there's some subtle changes from, you know, what Wade and Ted do. You know, Nora's offense is Nora's offense. You know, we've seen that at Dallas, at Washington, at Oakland. And, you know, he's got a very comprehensive style of play. He's well-balanced. You know, they run the ball. They throw it. They throw it deep. They challenge in the deep part of the field. And so all those elements are there that you know, he has. It's a little bit different from what Marty did, although there's certainly some carryover, but it's different. And, you know, and the kicking game is, you know, it's the same coach. Steve Crosby's there. And, you know, a lot of the same cast of characters, you know, Osgood and Sproles and so forth. But, you know, there's some subtle changes there, too. But, you know, overall, this is a good football team. They beat the Bears, who we know are a good football team. We're last year. And I'm sure they'll be ready for us. Well, I think that's what you expect every week. I think every week you go into a game, you expect the opponent to be at their best, playing their best football, and, you know, and charge it up to beat you. And that's the way we try to be every week. So I think that's what you're ready for every week. You know, I'm sure both teams will go out there and you know, try to play their best, put their best game out there. But that's what we expect on a weekly basis, and that's what we want to try to do.
At times like this, do you think your team's
I think every week we have, you know, we have our own challenges, and that's each game is a challenge, and each team's a challenge. Certainly, San Diego's one of the best teams in the league. They're good in every phase of the game, so I think we're challenged to prepare for them and to do as much as we can between now and Sunday to be ready to go, and then, you know, Sunday to play our best game.
Phil, because it's a new coaching staff out of San Diego, is there more emphasis on the game they just played than other games? Like, with other teams, you can go back further and look
right
at, but the game against Chicago, you find emphasis getting ready for San Diego because of the new staff?
It's that's a tough question. It really is. It's something we've talked a lot about as a staff. You know, how much will they do the things that they were successful doing against us last year this year, or how much do they not really care about last year because they've got their own program? So I think we have to be respectful of all that. Certainly what they did in preseason and in the Bear game is very important, because that's this coaching staff. It's their system. It's their plays. Were there some things that worked well against us in the last game? Yes. And so I think we better keep an eye on those things too, because it will be very easy for them to say, hey, let's go back and do this. That looked pretty good.
The New England Patriots set a franchise record for fewest points allowed during the 2007 season. Celebrate this historic milestone with a limited edition Goal Line Guardian poster exclusively from the New England Patriots, free. And if you think that's good, how about having it signed by two members of that record-setting defense, Roosevelt Colvin and Ty Warren? Take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer by making qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points, redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points card and free Goal Line Guardians poster autographed by Roosevelt Colvin and Ty Warren. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autographed poster limited to the first 200 with qualifying purchases. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.